When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Comic books, comic time. Writers and artists are on the line. They make a splash as a comic's read and take us on a trip behind the spread. Watch out for comic book commentary. Spinning or winning inside, fix how they got a hot idea. Narrative, character, visual tricks, and onomatopoeia. It's comic book commentary.
Hello, everyone. This is Carlos Gifoni. I am the writer for Strayed, and I'm here to give you the commentary track for both issue 1 and issue 2 of Strayed. The music that you were just listening to, it's actually a soundtrack that accompanies both issue 1 and issue 2, and that will be released every time an issue of Strayed comes out. 20 new minutes of music for that. And you can download that and or stream at Carlos Gifoni. That's my name. G-I-F-F-O-N-I is the last name. .bandcamp.com. And then you'll have access to both the existing ones for 1 and 2. And in the future, get the rest of them. And they're completely free. So, yeah, I'm really excited to be doing this. Strayed, it's out. Strayed 1 was out August 21st, and Strayed 2 just came out September 18. This is a book that's being released by Dark Horse, and I am the writer, like I mentioned. The art is by Juan Doe. The lettering is by Matt Krotzer, and Chaz Pangburn is the editor that we hire to help us create this book. So first of all, to tell you a little bit about what Strayed is about, it is about Lou, an astral traveling cat, and his owner, Kiara Rodriguez, who is this genius scientist and realizes that something is going on with Lou, so she creates a translation device that reads his brainwaves and translates them into speech. And that happens, that all happens before even issue 1 of Strayed begins. It was important to us to begin Strayed right in the middle of the adventure, rather than try to tell some kind of origin story. We wanted to drop you right in when it mattered most. And before I go into the actual issue 1, I just wanted to thank everyone that's been supporting us, whether it's a retailer, a reader, or even the publisher. Everyone at Dark Horse has been great. And actually, it worked out really well that I'm doing 1 and 2 because I have the reception that we received for issue 1. That was really good. Critically also, we got a really good number of reviews, press reaching out for interviews, and a number of podcasts that both me and Juan were able to participate in. So going into Strayed number 1, in the left side, once you open the book, there is a little write-up And that says, in the far future, military scientist Kara Rodriguez creates a device that translates brainwaves into discernible language. She uses it to communicate with her cat, Lou, and discovers the feline has the ability to astrally travel to faraway places. The military has much to gain from this ability. And again, that's just setting the scene so that we right away, we can go into what's going on. And the first page of issue one has basically Lou traveling all over space. We see his face with a kind of energy coming out of it over his head. And then we see him blazing through the space. And we see a bunch of speed lines, right? And this was the first page that I ever got back from Juando, the artist, who was definitely a dream to work with. Juan was someone that I was using as reference when I was looking for an artist for this book. And after some frustrations with not being able to find an artist that that would be the right person for this book, I emailed Juan out of nowhere, cold email. And he got back to me right away. He loved the concept. And we talked on the phone for 2 hours after that. And then he was the artist on the book. That was really like having the perfect person to do this. And it shows on the first page right away. You see that, you know, the coloring he's using, the lines of speed as Lou flies through the cosmos are quite dreamy in a way. quite the thing that I wanted to present in this story. When people ask me, what's your favorite page? It tends to be this one. Because right away when I saw it, I knew that we had the right person for the job and that this book was going to be what I had imagined it could be. So, yeah, on that first page also, there is a dialogue going back and forth between Kiara and in a few pages we'll see that it's Kiara and Major Robert Williams. And I'm not going to read the exact lines, but it is very much going back and forth between Kiara kind of pleading that, hey, Lewis's family, that, you know, they want to leave. They don't want to be part of this thing that's going on. And Major Robert Williams is not having any of it. He says, isn't it obvious? You both be classified as disposable if Lou can do his thing and so on, right? So it's a back and forth. It is very obvious that Kiara is doing this against her will and it's having Lou do this against her will. What Major Robert Williams is threatening them, specifically threatening them with doing something to Lou and her as well if she gets on the way. And in the meantime, we're seeing Lou, like I mentioned before, just traveling through space. When we go to pages 2 and 3, we see that there's actually a spread of places that Lou is seeing, a spread of planets that he's visiting, trying to find what he's been asked to do, which is find a place with primitive life, basically. And this one was really interesting because I didn't know how to necessarily write the script to explain what I had in my mind for this one. So I made basically a diagram, a really bad drawing of what this page should be. And I sent it over to Juan and what came back was even better. I want to call out too that Matt Krotzer, the letter, did a couple really cool things here. One, he has a little bit of alien language going on between two birds on the right. And then also the way he created a little bit of a different balloon for when we're seeing loose thoughts. It has the hexagon that was also developed in this page by Juan to see the different planets, the different things that Lou can see. But it's now also used by Matt to notate in the corner of the caption that this is a Lou caption. And finally, he says, yes, this is the one I founded. And that's a big spread with the other planets around it. The next two pages is when we're finally going to get to see that there's a space station and that's where the physical version of Lou is being held. We see him flying outside of the planet, coming back to the station. And finally, we see Kiara and we see Major Williams, who does not care about Lou, who does not care about their relationship, and he just wants the location. Kiara picks him up. Lou is purring, and the translator device in Lou's neck just says happiness. The following page, it's the first silent page in the book. There's no dialogue or caption, and it's basically just Kiara letting Lou down, and like a good kitty, like a good boy, he goes to his bed. There's a little toy there in the bed as well, and he just lays down to sleep, because cats sleep a lot. And we see Kiara that she's holding her fist as Lou lays in the bed. He's holding her fist like he's, you know, she's determined to do something, or like that she is both determined and a little frustrated with the situation. But I think that's the beginning of what we see is the idea that Kiara is not going to just let this stand. She feels like she's going to have to do something for this cat. And the final panel on that page is just Lou, and we kind of come back out of the room and we see through a window that is just him by himself in this big room. There isn't much fun. There isn't much going on in the room. It is very much like a cell. On the next page, so right next to it, we see the first time that Major Robert Williams communicates through a holographic communication device with Oscar Peely. He's the premier of this military organization. He's the one leading humans at the moment. And again, obviously, he just wants the report. He just wants to know if they found a planet. And he is very, he's pleased that it is going well. And he says, continue with Code Straight, which is the name they're using for the operation of Lou finding planets. On the last panel of that page, Major Robert Williams says, as you wish, Premier, and what about the planet? And in the next page, we get a caption from the Premier saying, begin colonization. And we see the Infinites, which is the name of this military organization. We see their spaceships just raining destruction to the alien planet that we previously saw Lou find. On the next page, we see an interesting one page of this mysterious alien being. And all around her, there is the explosions and the destruction on the planet that's happening. And below her, she's kind of holding this light above Lou, who is sleeping. She is trying to communicate. It seems like this alien being is trying to communicate with Lou. There's a number of circular captions that where she's pleading to Lou, explaining that what's coming, it's only death and destruction, and asking him if he can hear her. Lou is sleeping. The next page, we're still seeing she's pleading to Lou to wake up. And Lou is having a nightmare where we see monstrous versions of both Oscar Peele and Major Williams asking him for the location and asking to take it all. And we see a small Lou caption. He's screaming, meow, as he runs away and the monsters are behind him. And then he says, I remember. And on the next page, we see a spread with Lou's face in the middle and a number of experiments that were done to Lou to, at this point, just find out what is it that he was doing. How was he able to astral project? And, you know, he's remembering the test, the needles, and the fact that he's just born this way. And he understands that he's useful to them. And on the next page, we're seeing a little bit of the interactions between Kiara and Lou. He's purring. She's holding him in her arms. There's an image in the middle of Lou laying on his back. And then something happens to Kiara. Suddenly, you can see that something's going on. Something hurts. And on the bottom of the page, it goes from Kiara giving Lou a loving smile to all of a sudden a streak of kind of like blood and energy coming out of a face that then turns into a skull. And this is a nightmare that Lou is having. And on the next page, we see him kind of go, "Row!" and wake up. And his translator says, "No." Again, translator, translating his emotion, translating what he's thinking. And then he realizes that it was just a dream and he goes back to sleep. At the bottom of that page, we see that Kiara has reached two guards and she is determined to get through. Again, coming from earlier on when we saw her put that fist up, showing that she's going to resist, she's going to fight back. And we have a really interesting sequence here of the guards telling her, like, no, she's not allowed to see Robert. He's busy with an operation. And she tells him that, you know, what's going on in here? Why are they in the secret base? She believes something is wrong. She knows it. And then she tells him that she's being forced to do this. But she's questioning, what is their excuse to doing this? Why are they here collaborating with Robert? And then the female guard that's right in front of her brings out like an electric baton and tells her that to go back to her room, or she will have to carry her there. And at the bottom of the page, there's a little bit of a buzzing that comes with the baton. It's electrified, energized. And on the next page, we get another silent page, except for the first panel where we see a buzzing that's going on. Basically, the baton, or you can read it as the light that's in that room, buzzing as well. So a transition there. Kiara sitting in the bed alone in her room. She's looking at a picture. We see that the picture is her and Lou. She's giving like a little cute, you know, peace sign as in the picture as she's holding Lou. We see her laying in the bed, a little bit down, a little bit helpless in a way. And then the lights go off and we can see that her eyes are still quite open. She's not been sleeping very well. The next page, it's 4 weeks later, and she's still laying in the bed. Her eyes are wide open, so we assume that it's been the same type of struggle for a while. And we see that there's kind of, on the speakers, there's a message coming true. This is throughout the station. There's a request for Mr. Rodriguez to report to Major Williams's office. And that continues on every panel, repeating over and over again. And on the bottom of the page, we see Lou meowing for Kiara as he senses her as she steps out of her room. And Lou's room is in the opposite side of the corridor. On the next page, we have a sequence of basically Lou and Kiara talking to each other through the wall, the door that separates them. She's not allowed to go into the room. She tries to go in, and right away the system of the space station tells her that she has the entry is denied and that she needs to report to the major's office for debriefing. And Lou just saying that he wants to see her, and she tells him that, you know, it'll be soon. And almost at the end of that sequence, we see just Lou with her little paw on the door, and Kiara's gone to speak to Robert. Sarcastically, as she goes through the same two guards, they give her good morning, and the other guard that threatened her before asked her if she had a good night's sleep. Obviously sensing that she is distressed and she hasn't been sleeping. And Robert receives her very happy into his office. He tells her, come in, they have a lot to discuss. The next few pages are a little bit dialogue heavy, I try not to put as much dialogue when possible, but I wanted to slow down the attention of the reader and bring them to the situation, bring them into this like really disturbing conversation that's happening between Kiara and Major Williams. Where he basically reveals that that they have arrived to the planet, that he is the only one that can authorize her ever leaving, because she's requesting that her and Lou be released right now, and he's letting her know that actually, you know, they're very useful. He's not going to let them go. Even her translation device was useful in the operation in the alien planet. And he's telling her that he's extremely happy with the results so far, and that the premier is ecstatic about what's going on as well, which obviously makes Robert very happy, because the premier is almost like a father figure to him. You know, he really wants to please him, and he really believes in the premier. You know, he mentions that, you know, they'll build settlements for future human inhabitants, and that they will take some of their resources, basically, and that the aliens will be given a more meaningful purpose. And Kiara keeps complaining, you know, she's arguing back, saying, well, you're destroying their lives. You know, what are you doing? Why are you doing this type of questioning? You know, she's beginning to understand that the worst is actually what's happening. Major Williams says, don't worry, a few more planets and you'll be done. You won't have to worry about this anymore. And basically the human race will be safe. She's just like, only a few more? Like it's not enough. You know, like how does he dare? And then she actually sees that her translator device is being put on an alien. Major Williams showed her this holographic visualization where they're seeing what actually happened on the planet that Lou found. And she's gasping. And at this point, she's unable to speak anymore. Like, what's going on? It's shocking for her. And there's only a few more pages for this issue. On the next page, we basically, as Robert is narrating the story of what happened once they got to that planet, we see the soldiers from the Infinites finding this strange looking light source. And Robert lets her know that they found this power source that is unlike anything they've ever found, and that it's basically an enigma to them. They incentivize one of the aliens to give him more information, basically beating him up. And he responded, he led them to the source of that energy, the power, and they discover this sort of like alien-looking plant. And this is the last page of the of issue one. They discover this alien plant, something unlike they ever seen before. And there's drawings, basically cave drawings, of this alien deity giving one of them, one of these race of aliens, the sphere that basically is the power sphere that comes from this plant. And surprise, the alien that is gifting this this power supply picture on the wall, it's actually the same alien that we saw trying to communicate with Lou earlier in the issue. And Major Robert Williams tells him that that energy source, it's nothing like what they found in that planet. It has to come from somewhere else. And he says, the two of you are going to help me find it. And we see a small cutout panel in the bottom of Lou sleeping. And that is the end of issue one. So we get the reveal that there's more to this alien that we might have thought initially, and that Lou and Kiara will continue to be used to further try to find more of this power source. And that's issue one. There's also a little letter. It's called Meow. I talked a little bit, thanking everyone that was involved in the book and telling you a little bit more of what's coming up and where my mind was at when I wrote this issue. And telling people to send us letters, because from issue three on, we will actually feature whatever you send us through email, and that's straightcomic@gmail.com. So please send us comments, send us pictures of your cats, and we will feature them. And then we have another advertisement for the soundtrack. And again, that's on carlosgifoni.bandcamp.com. And hopefully I had time to edit different pieces of music throughout this reading. I'm going to try to throw some of the soundtrack in every handful of pages. And finally, a beautiful pinup that was made by Morgan Beam, who's an amazing artist. It's a watercolor based painting of Kiara holding Lou and him traveling around. And that's it for issue one. Again, the main cover, which is Lou astral projecting a big image of Lou, is by Juando, my good friend and amazing artist Juando. And there's also a variant cover that is by Dustin Nguyen, one of my favorite artists. He won an Eisner this year for his work on The Sender and Ascender. And yeah, I was thrilled to have him do a cover for issue one. And when we look at issue two, we also have two covers. We have Juando's cover, which is this sort of industrial poster, industrial era poster, basically. Premier Peely, the flower, the source of energy in front of him, and then different versions of Lou flying behind him, kind of like he's sending these missiles, right, out to attack or out into the world. And it all looks very epic and grandiose. And Yeah. And one thing that you'll see is that we actually have, and this one is more obvious, but on every cover of Straight, you'll see Lou in some form, even if he's hidden a little bit away. And then the variant cover for this is by Jim Mafood. And it features a slightly fatter version of Lou kind of streaming through space. And a version of Kiara sitting on this bug, just looking at him. And it's that was also a thrill to have Jim in the book. I love his work. Girl Scouts, it's an amazing book. And I know he's already mentioned that he has more coming, so I'm excited to see where that work goes. But, you know, his work on Tank Girl and all his illustration work and the work he did for Spider-Verse, for Concept, it's quite great. So, again, I was thrilled to have him do a cover. So, Straight number two begins with, similar to one, images of Lou flying through space, but in this time, we actually see him arriving to some planets. We see, similar to issue one, there's captions on this page, but in this case, it's only Kiara. And she's narrating how just a few more missions became 5, 10, 20. She's lost count, and they're still pushing Lou forward. But she feels like they're making progress, and they found 4 of those power sources of the flower. And she's trying to basically convince herself that maybe there's some good in what they're doing. That maybe now the human race is going to be able to survive and prosper. They're actually maybe contributing something that millions of humans can benefit from it. And on the next page, we see Lou arrive at a planet. There's lizard-like creatures. They're in a sort of pyramid dancing, and we see 2 of them embracing. Lou is just saying, "Finally, I found another one." And we also see the blue light that we have seen before from the flower on the pyramid on the background. Kiara just says, "I just wish the same could be said for other species." As those 2 alien figures embrace, on the following page, we see that the Infinites are opening fire on that alien race and destroying them. And then there's smoke in the background as they take the flower out of that pyramid. And counterpart to the image of the 2 aliens embracing, an alien holding her lover as potentially he's dying or about to die. And on this page, we actually see Robert narrating instead of Kiara and saying that, you know, they found this flower and they discover its true potential. And he's basically ecstatic that that's the case. And on the following page, similar to the previous page, Lou arrives to a planet and you're actually hearing my cat in the background, hopefully, crying. But Lou arrives to this planet and it's green and there's this kind of tree houses and there's these bat creatures in there. And Kiara is actually talking to herself and wondering, you know, what are they really after? What is going on? Isn't enough what they have? It's more than they would ever need. Lou, finds the bat people and he goes, "Well, giant mice that can fly. Kiara would get a kick out of this." So he's completely oblivious for the most part as to what's going on. And we see a family of these bad people like playing with their child. And in the next page, we go back again to Robert narrating the fact that sacrifices are needed for progress and they will take it all. And he's talking about evolution and basically how humans should be the race at the top of the chain and so on. As the Infinites arrive to this planet and start killing some of the aliens and again taking the resources, and we see the bad people dead. Both sides, we see that there is a flower, an energy source there. The next page, another alien race. This one, it's almost like they're plant people. I remember when I sent this to Juan, telling him, sending him pictures of like mushrooms and different weird plants as inspiration. And he created this kind of forest where some of the things that should normally be plants are kind of have eyes and are moving around. Kiara is saying how despite all the efforts, he only has found more flowers than the primitive people, but he can find the aliens who are creating it. As the scientists of the infinites have are claiming that it was genetically created, and the push keeps going forward to find the creators. And then on the next page, again, we see the infinites destroying this alien race. And in this one, actually, the aliens are fighting back, and we see that they're melting down some of the infinite soldiers. They're still getting destroyed. The infinites are winning, and they will be taking the energy source away. Next page, we see four images, each of the alien planets that have been basically colonized, and in some of them they have aliens buildings for the infinites. So the first one at the top is the one from the previous issue, and then we see the other three kind of burning and the flower being taken away. And Kiara is going, you know, abuse of power, ransacking, obliteration, genocide. I've been part of something awful. So in this, during this monologue, she's realizing what's going on, you know, after like figuring out, thinking about it, talking to herself. She realizes that no, there's nothing good coming out of it. And on the next page, we see her just sitting in her bed, hugging her pillow and going, it's all been a big lie. And Robert, on the opposite side, he's looking at himself in the mirror, holding his fist to his heart and saying, we're infinites. You know, he's proud of what they're doing. In the next pages, we go back to Kiara and Lou in Lou's room, and there's an orb that's supposed to scan Lou, and Lou jumps and tries to grab it, and he wants to play, but Kiara is telling him that they can't play right now, that you know, this is a serious time, and Lou is biting her and playing around, and she finally gets him to calm down. She finally gets Lou to calm down, and we see, as Lou is sleeping and purring, the device projects that there's a warning, there's a critical condition for Lou. So he's not doing well. You know, the more they push him to travel more and more, to find more of this flower, to try to find the leader, or rather the person, or the aliens that are creating this flower, his health is deteriorating. Next pages, we see a giant spaceship that's a premier Oscar Peele spaceship. He is flying through a very populated planet with a escort of infinite spaceships alongside his big spaceship. And there's conversation going on between Robert and Robert Williams, the major, and the premier, Oscar Peele, going back and forth, basically saying, the premier saying he's going to the Capitol to give Congress a briefing, and that they only know about one planet so far, but they're extremely happy. And Robert's letting him know that they had some casualties, but they were able to secure the fourth planet, the fourth flower. Robert tries to tell Oscar that, hey, or Premier Oscar Peely, that there's a problem with the subject. As they increase the frequency of the missions, his health is deteriorating, and he's kind of trying to get some advice as to what to do. And that's on the page next to the one with the spaceship. And Oscar's not having him, tells him to stop. He doesn't care about the casualties. He doesn't care about the health of the subject, is what they're calling Lou. He just wants to know what's going on with the aliens that created the flower. Finally, Robert tells him they're getting closer. They find some traces of the aliens. But he's not satisfied. Again, cuts him off and tells Robert that he needs to tell him a story. He needs to remind him of what they're doing this, basically. And the next page, as you turn the page, is this spread, two-page spread, with the Premier at the front, very militaristic, similar to the main cover. And we see an army of golden warriors behind him. And in the page, he's basically talking, and it's caught in different areas, showing experimentation and the kind of the social situation going on in their home planet, and the alien with the flower on the other one. On the other panel, and he is explaining to Robert that they need to be this race that conquers the universe, basically Darwinism perfected. And he's explaining how the flower actually clones itself, and it's almost like a perfect organism. It makes itself younger and younger, and they're connected. It's like a distributed control of all the units maintained by a central organism. And he's wondering, he's telling Robert, imagine what we could do with a talent like that. We could be gods, so he tells Robert, we need to find that alien race. We need to make any sacrifices that we must do to find them. And then he ends by saying, don't forget, we're infinites. And then on the next page, Major says, now and forever, but he's barely able to get it out. And he says, I'll find them, sir. And we see him crying. He's been driven to tears by Oscar's discourse on, the human race. Right away, he says, Chiara, after the connection is gone. So, this whole conversation was happening through the holographic device that we saw in issue one. And he says, Chiara, and right away on the page next to it, we see Chiara really upset and just going, absolutely not. No way. No way. She's telling Robert that Major Williams and Lou is sick. There's no way he can do a mission right away. He needs to rest. And he's telling her that she doesn't understand. Big things are happening. They're beyond her comprehension. And she gets upset and she's like, fuck your comprehension. He can't do this anymore. But Robert just tells him he can and he will. He's going to have a full medical team ready if something happens. And then he says, not only to mention, and if we see the next page, there's basically documents, digital documents that are ready to go. He's giving Chiara his word that if this mission is successful, if Lou manages to find this alien race that created the flower, they'll be free to go. The papers are ready, and there'll be basically a generous severance package for them as they leave the military. So the next page, Chiara has basically decided that, okay, maybe this is a way out, and she's trying to talk Lou. Lou is saying he's into going and finding the alien. He's saying he's very tired. He wants to go home, but Chiara's telling him that if they do this, if he finds him, they'll be able to finally go home. So he's going to say, okay, home with Kiara. He wants to try. He closes his eyes and he's ready to stray through space again. And the next page, we see Lou, he's saying for Kiara with his eyes closed, energy coming out of his forehead. And we see he multiplies into several versions of himself. And he's trying to find the flower makers. And he keeps repeating, find the flower makers, find the flower makers. And we see multiple versions of Lou fly through through space, through some black holes, nebulas, planets, as they're trying to find the flower. On the next page, we see four panels of different worlds that he finds. I try to have fun with the descriptions for this one. One of my goals with the way I was writing this book is once I got that initial page from Juan, I realized, in the first few pages, I realized that I wanted to show off as much of his skills as possible by showing different planets, different parts of space. And on this page, we see four very distinct environments that Lou arrives from, something very organic and kind of scary to robotic planets, to almost like planets that are made of beings that are pure energy. And, you know, he's talking about each of the planets that he sees them. And on the next page, we have this spread. This is another one that I had to actually draw out for Juan to explain him what I meant. But he goes from a handful on the first page on the left. So this is a two-page spread. There are five hexagons containing different planets. And if we go from left to right, we see more and more of these hexagons, and they get smaller and they get tighter in the page, basically signifying that Lou is going through maybe hundreds, if not thousands, or even more locations trying to find this alien race that created the flower. And we see him close up into some of the panels, and we see him comment on the life that he sees or the non-life that he finds. And he's towards the right side of the page, he's saying, no matter what I do, I can't complete my mission. And finally, after all this time, after all this effort, he hears a voice that says, little one, over here. And Lou calls out to all the versions of himself. He says, everyone, come. And as we turn to the final page, we see the spirit of Lou kind of combining, and we see the reveal that he's found the alien from his dream, the alien from the painting on the wall. And he says, welcome to Oblivia, little one. This is my home. And we see a sort of a field of energy behind her. And we see that there are plants with the flowers in the background. And Lou has found the alien race that created the flower. And with that, we come to the end of our commentary. So thank you for listening. This has been the commentary for Strayed from Dark Horse Comics. I'm the writer, Carlos Gifoni. The artist is Juan Do, letterer Matt Crutzer, and editor Chas Pangburn. Monthly till December. So 5 issues. Issue 2 out today as the time of this podcast going live. So go to your local store, get both 1 and 2 if you haven't yet, and sign up for the future issues. It's a 5 issues mini series, and it's a complete story. And I really hope that you enjoy it. The best way to follow me is through Twitter. My handle is my first and last name, so at Carlos Gifoni. Also at Carlos Gifoni, that's carlosgifoni.com. In my website, there's links to the Bandcamp and some information on my other music, both music and comic projects that I have going on. So again, thank you for listening. Please enjoy the rest of the Stray series. It's been a pleasure. And again, I'll leave you with some of the sounds from the soundtrack. And thank you so much. Please enjoy the book.
Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered by Chelsea Jacobson and mastered by Anna Rubinova. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.